Hi there, this is Jacob Msiba, the Senior Pastor of Builders Church. I just want to thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast today, and I trust that it will bless and build your spirit. Enjoy the message, and God bless you.
Amen. This morning, I just want to share with us under a title that I have titled, Knock, Knock. A time of visitation. Knock, knock. A time of visitation. And this message is so fitting, Bazalwane, because it's December. The cousins, the aunts, the nieces and the nephews, the relatives will be wanting to come and visit. I don't know about you, but each time I'm expecting a visitor, I get so excited and I prepare, just like we prepared for our visitors this morning. When you are expecting a visitor, you always prepare. Amen. Except if it's those visitors who come unannounced. Except if it's them, Lababa December, Abati. Bengishula. That hai, ngoba ngiseduzane ake ngene. Amen. So ke labo yile nhlobo ongeke uzukwazi ukuyipreparela. Kodwa nje a visitor, it's nice having visitors. Amen. It's always good to have visitors, and you prepare and you make sure that everything is in place. Amen. Sometimes you even wait at the door just so that you can, in anticipation for that knock to say, they are here. Amen. Because you've been waiting for them, because you've been preparing for them. Amen. So just like when we are expecting a visitor, we also need to wait patiently for that knock at the door that the Lord is going to make. Amen. We should always be expectant of the visitation from God. Hallelujah. So as much as we are always expectant for our visitors, we should also always be expectant of a visitation from God. Hallelujah. So being expectant of a visitation from the Lord, of a time of visitation from the Lord, we need to make sure that we are always alert. So it helps us to be alert. When we are expectant of a visitation from God, we are always alert. And while going about our own businesses, minding our own business, and going about our own daily routines, and then we do not miss God moments. If we are alert and expectant, if we are expectant, we will always be alert and we will never miss God moments. Amen. So being expectant helps you to be aware of the fact that God can come and interrupt your daily routines with his goodness. While you are going about your own routines, and the Lord would knock at your door and say, here I am with my goodness. Hallelujah. He can show up at your door and interrupt your comfort zone. So we need to always be expectant of that time of visitation. Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Are you there? If you are there, say hallelujah. If you are not there, say amen. Oh, there's a few. Right. You will catch up with us. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 from verse 1. In fact, we are going to read, we are just going to take verse 1 and also take and jump and take verse 11a. Amen. So the Bible says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And then we are jumping to 11a. 11a says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. So God is a God of time. He makes everything beautiful in its time. And He says everything, there is a season and there is a time for every purpose. Amen. Well, in the Greek language, time can be clearly defined in two words. And those two words are chronos and kairos. Chronos being the kind of a time that is measured. You can be able to measure chronos. You can be able to measure it because it's the time that you determine by your watch and by the calendar. It is measured by your watch and it is measured by the calendar. So chronos is the time that you measure in seconds, in minutes, in hours, in days, in weeks, in months, in years, in decades, and in millennia. Amen. That's the chronos kind of time that you can be able to measure and say it is quarter past 11. Hallelujah. That is the kind of time we are talking about when we talk about the chronological time. It is the time that determines ukuthi kufanele uhole njengoba kuphela inyanga nje. It is I'm sure you can be shocked if ngabe imali yakho yala usebenza khona ayizange ingene ngoba uzozibuza ukuthi what's going on, because I worked for the whole month, so what's happening? And then you would even call your boss to say, you know what, my salary is not in. Why? It is because you saw that the time that can be measured has expired for you to be able to get your salary. Amen. So that is the kind of a time we are talking about when we talk about chronos. Amen. And chronos is fast becoming more and more valuable. It's becoming more and more valuable. People pay to save time. And people sell their time. If you don't believe me, you can ask those who sit on boards. They will tell you that my 2 hours is such and such an amount. And it puzzles me that some people just go and sit and say a few words and their 2 hours or their hour is worth a lot of money. And I also have the same hour. You also have the same hour. Amen. Amen. So it is measured like that and it is becoming more and more valuable. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Come with me. So, and then we also have kairos, right? We have kairos. Kairos cannot be measured. Kairos is a God moment. Kairos is a due time. So, the perfect example that I can use this morning for us to understand the difference between chronos and kairos is pregnancy. When you are pregnant, you have a term of 9 months for the baby to be born. Everybody knows about that. Even the doctors will tell you that you will have 10 months and in May, around May, you will give birth. Because the 10 months would have been expired, would have been exhausted. Amen. So you would have come to full term. Hallelujah. But there is no one, no matter how educated they can be, no matter how clever they can be, there is no one who can determine when the baby is born. No one can determine that time. No matter how educated a gynecologist can be, that gynecologist can never determine the exact time that the baby will be born. Why? Because it is a Kairos time of God. It depends on God whether he wants you to be born on the 11th of May at 6 a.m. or he wants you to be born on the 12th of May at 7 a.m. or he wants you to be born on the 17th of May at 8 p.m. It's God who decides. Even the mother cannot decide, but it is God who decides the due time. Hallelujah. It is God who determines that the time is now due. Hallelujah. And that is the Kairos time of God. Hallelujah. It is a God moment, as I said. It is a fixed time. It is a set time. We are talking about Kairos. It is an opportune time. It is a season. Kairos is a season. Maybe I will pause again and prophesy upon myself to say my new season is imminent. Maybe I will pause and prophesy upon your life to say your season is imminent. Hallelujah. To say your season is imminent, your season is at hand. I prophesy upon myself. I don't know about you. I said, Epinoni, you can take it if you want to take it, but I am taking it for myself in the presence of the Lord. I am prophesying because the Lord is saying that a Kairos moment is a season, and therefore my season is changing. I believe that my season is imminent. My season, the season of the fulfillment of that which God has promised me, is eminent. I believe that I have not preached my best sermon yet. I believe that I have not driven my best car yet. I am yet to preach my best sermon. I am yet to pastor thousands and thousands of people because my season is eminent. I am yet to see God performing miracles, signs and wonders over my life because my season is eminent. I believe that, and I prophesy and I speak, oh, in the name of Jesus, that I have not worn my best dress yet. Oh, I have not driven my best car yet. I have not lived in my best home yet. Oh, I have not won enough souls yet. Oh, I have not preached the gospel enough yet. I'm about to be manifest. Hallelujah. Because when the season comes, it is a Kairos moment. It is a God moment. And when a God moment comes, there is no devil in hell that can stand against that moment. When a God moment comes, there is no one who can close the doors for you. Because lo and behold, when you have been perfected and your season has come, even though the doors are shut, oh, you will walk through the walls if you have to, just like Jesus when he was perfected. After the day of resurrection, the doors were closed. Maybe people have been closing doors for you, but I prophesy upon your life this morning that your season has come, that your season is eminent. There is no one who will succeed in closing any door for you, because you will walk through the walls in the name of Jesus. Because when your time has come, your time has come, and your blessing is your blessing. There is no one who will be able to say no to that which God would want to do in your life when the season has come. Oh, I am yet to preach the gospel. I am yet to be anointed to impact my generation. Oh, I am yet to give my best offering. Oh, I am yet to see miracles, signs, and wonders. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I am not backing down, for I know that my season is imminent. I am yet to see the world. Oh, I can't, Bazaran. Angwazukshulis nomiganjan. I feel it in my bones. I feel it in my inner soul. I feel it in me. Oh, I know it in my Noah. Oh, the buildings that we are about to build. Hallelujah. Oh, the souls we are about. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, I feel it this morning. The seasons are about to change. You've been sitting and you've been in that season far too long. Hallelujah. You've been in that season. You are even comfortable. You have even bought things that are going to make you comfortable in the season that you've been in. But I'm here to declare this morning in the name of Jesus, oh, that under the sound of my voice, your time has come. Your Kairos moment has come. In the name of Jesus, your juice season is now. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh, you are true. Yes, you've been pregnant for 9 months. Yes, you've been uncomfortable for 9 months. Yes, you've been seeing things not happening for so long, but your time has come. But your time has come. But your season has come. Your season has come. In the mighty name of Jesus, the world will know you. You've been sitting on top of your talent far too long. You've been sitting on top of your gift far too long. But the Lord is about to visit you. I hear a knock. A visitation is imminent. A visitation is imminent. In the name of Jesus. The me that is me right now is not me. Wait until my season comes. The you that is you, the person that you are, you are yet to look your best. You are yet to look your best. You are yet to look in a way that most people who haven't seen you in a while will wonder if it's you for real. People who have known you for years will wonder and begin to ask, is it her? Is it him? And yes, it's you. Why? Your season has come. Let us continue. Kairos time is a moment you have been waiting for. Kairos time is a moment you've been praying for. A moment you have been giving for. Do you have something that has always been in your heart that you've been preparing yourself for? That you've been giving for? That you've been believing for, that you've been praying for? God will come in a Kairos moment and do great and mighty things in your life. It is a time you have been preparing for and being prepared for. That is a Kairos moment. That is a Kairos time. Your Kairos time is your moment. Hallelujah. It is a seasonable time. Because there are people who have the time, but they don't have the opportunity. There are people who have the opportunity, but they don't have the time. But when your Kairos moment comes, time and opportunity favors you. It comes at the right time, at the right place, with the right resources and the right people, because you are able to do it and do it good. Hallelujah. Welge, sometimes your Kairos comes through crisis. Sometimes your Kairos comes through crisis. If you don't believe me, we see it in the life of David. When David experienced his Kairos moment, when David experienced his God moment, there was a crisis. Goliath was busy insulting and provoking the armies of God. There was such a crisis. And David came in the midst of the crisis, and he wouldn't have known that he was able to bring down giants if the crisis was not there. In most cases, we run away from crisis. We don't like to face crisis head on because we think we are not going to be capable to withstand the crisis. But sometimes when we run away from the crisis, we are running away from our very breakthrough. Sometimes when we run away from the crisis, we are running away from what God would want us to see and experience. Things that we did not know we can be able to do or to achieve. We run away from crisis because we think, no, I'm going to drop down and die. And lo and behold, you will know that, instead, I realized I can bring down a giant. Just like David, there was a crisis. Queen Esther, when she rose to the seat of being the queen, there was a crisis. She didn't know she had the potential of being as beautiful as she was. She didn't know that she had the potential of being a queen. She didn't know. But because there was a crisis, then she knew that what she was capable of. Sometimes crises come so that you can know what you are capable of. Amen. Another one is Peter. In the book of Acts, chapter number 3, Mofiakaya, Uzoifunda, you will see that Peter, when they were going with John, they were going into the temple in the hour of prayer. The Bible says there was a man who was begging for alms. For many years, he would always be brought to the gate of the temple for him to beg for coins. Amen. And this particular day, I believe you will read it at home. I believe that it blesses me so much. I believe that they were always going in the same hour, going into the temple in the hour of prayer. Amen. They would always go and pray because the Bible says it was in the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, and they were going there. And then the Bible says this man was sitting at the gate called Beautiful. Hallelujah. How many know that you can be in a beautiful place and yet have an ugly situation? Aye, amen. Just like this man, he was at the gate which was called Beautiful, but he had an ugly situation. He had an ugly condition. He had an ugly circumstance, but he was at the gate that was called Beautiful. You can be in love. Love is a beautiful thing. You can be married. It's love. It's a beautiful thing. But then you have an ugly situation because now this thing is not working out because now you are not happy. You have an ugly situation, but in a beautiful place. You can be at work. You were so grateful to God. You thanked the Lord for your job. You said, oh God, you have given me a breakthrough. It is such a beautiful thing that I am now working. I am no longer unemployed, but now I have a job. But they can give you hell. It's a beautiful place with an ugly situation. So this man was at a beautiful place with an ugly situation. There was a crisis. This man could not do anything for himself. There was a crisis. But the crisis that I like the most, that I want us to see from this passage of scripture, is that I believe that Peter and John were always going to the temple at the ninth hour, at the hour of prayer. Because come on, they are the disciples of Jesus Christ. They have to always pray when it's time to pray. Hallelujah to those who pray when it's time to pray. Amen. So they were disciples of Jesus Christ. They would always go and pray in the temple. Hallelujah. And this man was there for many years. So to me, it says that this man has always been begging alms from them. And they've been giving him the coins. Amen. So all the other days, they had been giving this man the alms that he was begging for. Hallelujah. But on this particular day, Peter met a crisis. But that crisis was that he looked in his pockets. Hey, there is no money today. And probably because they were always passing this man and giving him coins, I believe. So they were like, oh my God. John, I'll put a little up. No, eish nami, nothing. Angizange ngize ngikhiphe imali, angiphathanga lutho. Bengitshela ukuthi hayi siyathandaza nje fast siyaphuma sibuyele emsebenzini. Angiphethe lutho mfethu. Ah, it's such a crisis. This person is like our brother now. We are always with him. We always give him something. He knows, man. That makufika isikhokho sami so Peter. Yabo mangabe kudlula uPeter, ngiyazi ngizobe ngigrant. Hey, there was a crisis. There were no coins. There was no money. And in the midst of the crisis, a Kairos moment came for him. A Kairos time came for him, whereby he said, silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have. When was he going to use the such as I have? When was he going to know that he had the ability to use the such as I have? Because he's been using the coins all along. And all of a sudden there is a crisis, there are no coins. Hey, sometimes it is a blessing when you don't have. Sometimes the best thing that can happen in your life is for you not to have. Just so that you can know what you have. Yeah. 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 Sometimes you don't know that you have the resilience that you have until there is nothing. Until there is a crisis. Sometimes you don't know the power that you carry in the inside of you until there is a crisis. Sometimes you don't know the power that resides in the inside of you until there is a crisis. Sometimes you don't know how much anointed you are until there is a crisis. Sometimes you don't know the grace that you carry until there is a crisis. Don't run away from the crisis. Face the crisis head on, because maybe the crisis is there to reveal yourself to yourself. Aye, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe it's there to reveal who you are. You don't know who you are. You don't know what you are capable of. Peter, you didn't know there was something in the inside of you that can raise a lame person. Wow. Just because you had the money. You were busy giving him the money until there was no money. Until the crisis. Until the crisis. Until the crisis. Maybe the reason why you do not have the money, it's time for you to believe God for real. Ah, you did not hear me. Maybe the reason why it's not there, it is because it's time for you to see how much faith you actually have. Kairos time is critical. It is a significant moment. It is when God makes all things work together for your good. It is when the pain, the hurt, the disappointments seem to make sense. It's like you are having a light bulb moment to say, oh, so this is the reason why I had to go through this. So this is the reason why I was hurt so badly. So this is the reason why things did not go right. Hallelujah. It is when God causes everything to work for your good. In our lives, there will be those moments, and we need to recognize them. And all of us, Bazalwan, we will have those Kairos moments. And it is a great responsibility that has been put on us to be able to recognize those moments. A Kairos time is a time of visitation. A Kairos time is a time of visitation. And I see God introducing a Kairos time in your life. I see God this morning introducing a Kairos moment in your life. As I said, we have a great responsibility to recognize our time of visitation, because I said a Kairos moment is a time of visitation. Why should we always make sure that we recognize our time of visitation? It is because if we don't, it has generational consequences. If we don't, it has generational consequences. The book of Luke, chapter number 19, verse 43 and verse 44. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, "For days will come." It is Jesus speaking here. "For days will come." Jesus was not happy with the fact that the babengamuhoyi, ngesixhosa basho njalo, babengamuhoyi, babenganandaba nje naye, babengambhekile. Amen. But listen to what he says. He says, "For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and enclose you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." So all of these things will happen to them just because they did not know the time of their visitation. So it is important that we take up the responsibility to recognize our time of visitation. So maybe someone may be asking, what does a time of visitation do for me? What will a time of visitation do for me? Number one. Tuwa nase naktiviga iwe don. Balanju number one. Besu ya marangani ngipuza manzi. Ngiyashisa bazalwane ni ngizongizwa ngithi uJesu boom pants bese niyakijima nithi in the name of Jesus kanti sengishisisela even more athu Jesu kahle nisukani ay amen. We are happy people. Number one. What does a time of visitation do for me? What can it do for you? One, when you experience the time of visitation, you experience the fulfillment of prophecy. You experience the fulfillment of prophecy, and it deals with barrenness in your life. Genesis chapter number 21, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, "And the Lord visited Sarah." The Lord visited Sarah. I see the Lord visiting you. I remember I said, amen is not the encouragement to the preacher, but it is an acceptance of a divine verdict. I see the Lord visiting you. "And the Lord visited Sarah, and he said, and as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken." The fulfillment of prophecy. "For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age." At the set time, at the Kairos moment of which God had spoken to him. May God visit you and fulfill everything he has spoken over your life. I said, may God visit you and fulfill every prophecy in your life. May God visit you and deal with barrenness once and for all in your life. I don't know about you, but it happens that sometimes we find ourselves, ukuthi there are some areas in our lives that are just not fruitful. They are not showing fruit. That area is barren. But when the visitation from the Lord comes, the visitation of the Lord comes and deals with barrenness once and for all. I don't know about you. I have prophecies that are pending. I need the visitation. I need the visitation. I need the visitation. And I see the Lord visiting us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Number two, it breaks a long season of suffering. I don't know how long have you been suffering. But there is a knock. There's a knock. A time of visitation has come. It breaks a long season of suffering. Exodus chapter number 4, verse 31. So the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their afflictions, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. May God visit you to break a long season of suffering. I said, may God visit you to break a long season of suffering. Hallelujah. May God look at your afflictions and do something about them. Just like he did for the children of Israel when they were held in bondage. And then the Lord visited them and he looked at their afflictions and they were set free. May the Lord visit you to set you free. May the Lord visit you to set you free. I said, may the Lord visit you to set you free. Hallelujah. Number three, it brings provision and divine help. He doesn't come and knock at your door just to say, oh, you look beautiful today. Hey, I missed you so much. He doesn't come just to say, you know how much I love you. But he comes with provision and with divine help. Ruth chapter number 1, verse 6. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, then she arose, talking about Naomi. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. May God visit you by giving you bread. I said, may God visit you by giving you bread. May God visit you with provision and with divine help, just like he did. Naomi had to relocate to a place where God visited. That's how awesome it is when God visits. People will relocate and come to you. People will want to be friends with you. People will want to be around you. Why? Because the Lord has visited you. She relocated and went to a place where the Lord had visited because God brought bread with him. He did not just come, but he brought provision and divine help. I see the Lord coming to your house, knocking at your door with provision in the name of Jesus. I see him coming to you with divine help in the name of Jesus. I see the Lord, and I see the Lord knocking at your door, saying it is your time of a visitation. Knock, knock, knock. It's time that I visit you. Knock, knock, knock. It's time that I come to you. Knock, knock, knock. It's Mary. It's the angel. Hallelujah. Mary, it's the angel. There's a knock at the door. Who is there? It's the angel with a miracle. Knock, knock. Who is there? It's me, Mary. Mother, please open. Divine help. Divine help. Divine help. Divine help. Hallelujah. Yeah. Mary coming to Martha. And Martha needed someone to say, I can relate. Mary also needed someone to say, I can relate. That is divine help. Hallelujah. So there is a knock at the door for divine help, and I receive it. Hallelujah. May that knock come. The knock that you have been waiting for, may it come in your life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, you will always need to make sure that we seize the moment, which is the Kairos moment in our lives. We need to seize Kairos moments in our lives. We need to seize them. But someone may be asking, how do I seize a Kairos moment in my life? How do I seize a time of visitation. You must learn to discern the times and the seasons. You must learn to discern the times and the seasons. That's how you will seize your time of visitations. Each time when God comes, he might not find you in a place if you do not know how to discern the times and the seasons. If you are a person who is on and off, the Lord might not find you in a place where he wants to visit you. Why? Because you do not discern the times and the seasons. Don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, verse 32. The Bible says, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. The sons of Issachar, they had the understanding of the times and the seasons. So you need to have the understanding of the times and the seasons, so you will know what to do. Then you will be able to seize your Kairos moment. You will be able to seize your time of visitation. Number two, you must pray for what you suspect God is doing. For you to be able to seize your time of visitation, you must pray for what you suspect the Lord is doing. I always say that a drop after a long drought is a sign that there is rain that is coming. So if you are a person who is going to seize the time of visitation, you are going to be a person who is going to have his or her eyes open all the time to say, I haven't received such and such a thing for a very long time, but today I received this thing. It means God is doing something. A drop after a long drought is a sign that the rain is coming. So pray for what you suspect the Lord is doing. For an example, if you have been in a dry season financially for a very long time, and I come and I say, Dorcas, the Lord has touched me. It's so small, but somehow I feel like I should give you this 10 rand. It's a principle I have lived by for all these years. You can take it and work on it, it will work for you if you take it. It's up to you. And someone comes and says, it's so small. In most cases, people will think it's insignificant because they don't know what you are going through. I mean. And then a person will come apologetic to say, somehow, I don't know why, but I feel like I should give you this 10 rand. I don't know. I know you don't need it. And yet you need it more than you need any other thing. But then the person will come to you and say, you know, I have this 10 rand and I feel led, I feel pushed to give you this 10 rand. It's so small, it's so insignificant. I'm sorry, Shem, but you know, they'll be so apologetic to say, hey, but I'm just doing what the Lord is leading me to do. And what you must do if you are a person who is going to seize their moment of visitation, their time of visitation, you must take that 10 rand. And say there is money coming. Hallelujah. And say there is money coming. Something is happening. There is a drop. This 10 rand is just a drop. It's just a sign that the Lord is busy doing something in as far as my finances are concerned. And you take that 10 rand and you pray exactly that which God is doing. Whatever you are suspecting in your heart, it will be a disservice even to the Lord and to ourselves if we do not pray for so souls in this season that we are in this church, because we are suspecting, we are just suspecting that the Lord is busy bringing many souls to us, and therefore we need to put prayer. The Bible says we must pray for rain in the time of rain. Yes, there is a sign that there is rain. However, it is not coming together the way we would want it to come together, and therefore we must pray. The Bible says pray for rain in the time of rain. So if you suspect that the Lord is doing something, pray about it. If kukhona obhuti abalokube, makukhona obhuti abangakholwa abalokube kubuka buka belokube kubheka bheka beloku bekuba khona izinto abafuna ukuzisho, ithi Lord, are you communicating something? Is there something you want me to know? Pray about it. Pray about it. Ask for rain. The book of Zechariah says, ask for rain in the time of the latter rain.
Hallelujah.
Yes, it's time for the latter rain, but ask for it. Because even though I am doing it, it's a season for it. However, there could be things that could hinder what I am about to do. So if you suspect anything, pray about it. Say, Lord, are you communicating something to me? Bring the correct one, Lord. Bring the correct one. I can see these ones are not even saved, but I think you are saying something. How come it's been dry for all these years and all of a sudden there is a drop? It means the rain is coming. If you have seen a drop in any area of your life, you must start praying about it, because then the Lord is about to do something great upon that area of your life. Because I said a drop after a long drought is a sign that the rain is about to fall. If you are suspecting any ounce of suspicion, it's what I do. Hey, I praise God. Each time there was a drought in an area of my life and something happens, even if it does not materialize, they will tell you, I haven't had someone, I've always had people approaching me to fund Ebuhleni, but it has been dry for the past 2 years. And all of a sudden, last week, hallelujah! Hey! All of a sudden, last week, someone sends me a message on social media, no hal. Not even on my number. That means the person looked for me and said, there is something we are working on. I wonder if you would maybe be interested to send a proposal. I said to Shogwell's wife, Lord, are you doing something? Lord, I am suspecting it's been dry for many years. It's been dry for so long. I have even had to use imaliyami from my own pocket. So now, could it be that maybe the seasons are changing? Hallelujah! I said, even if it does not materialize, but I am praying on it because I see it as a sign. I'm sure if you look around, there is a sign that the Lord has got something up his sleeve, that the Lord is about to do great and mighty things in your life. Therefore, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Don't miss your season. Don't miss your time of visitation. The Lord is knocking. 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 A time of visitation has come. The Lord is busy knocking at your door. The time of visitation has come. Knock, 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 knock. Please open. There is something I want to do for you. Knock, knock, knock. It's me, the Lord. It's me, the Lord. You've been in this situation far too long. You've been experiencing this barrenness for far too long. It's me, the Lord. It's your time for visitation. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. It's me, the Lord. here to deal with your barrenness once and for all. I am here to fulfill all the prophecies that you have been believing me for. Oh, I am here. Knock, knock, knock. Knock, knock, knock. Knock, knock, knock. Knock, knock, knock. It's time for your visitation. I am knocking at the door, says the Lord. It's time for your visitation. Oh, you have been afflicted, but cry no more, because I am knocking at your door and I am getting ready to look at your afflictions in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The season of drought is over. The season of lack is over in the name of Jesus. The season of sickness and disease is over in the name of Jesus. The season of not knowing what to do is over because the Lord is visiting you. Oh, the season of not having enough is over because the Lord is coming with provision in the name of Jesus. Just like when he came, oh, and Naomi had to relocate in the name of Jesus. The Lord is coming and visiting us with bread in the name of Jesus. Our provision has come. Our help 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 has come. Knock, knock, knock. Knock, knock, knock. Knock, knock, knock. Can you hear the Lord knocking at your door? Hey! See it in the spirit. 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 The Lord is knocking. The Lord is knocking with help. Panta, panta, panta. Yete pekesheka. Roko sete brekesha. Yeka sete le brekesheta. The season of suffering is over. The Lord is visiting us. The season of lack is over. The Lord is visiting us. Our time of visitation has come. I declare. I prophesy. I declare, I prophesy, it's my time.
Thank you once again for listening to the message today. We trust that you were blessed by it. Please do subscribe to our podcast to receive new messages every week. Thank you very much and keep on building.